Hello world, hello world. My name is Alex Avila, co-founder of the Black Talk series and also the co-host of the Black Talk series with...
And I'm Roriana Bowman. I'm also your co-host of the Black Talk series. And here we're going to talk about everything from relationships to health and wellness, education, every and anything that's impacting the culture. So stay tuned for Black Talk series.
Connected.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the Black Thought podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, or opinions of the Pan-African Student Success Center, California State University San Bernardino, or any universities within the California State University system. The material information presented here is for general purposes only. The California State University San Bernardino name in all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not apply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
Welcome back to another Black Talk series.
Hey, we in here.
We are in here. We have a special guest today. She rocked the house last time. Remember that?
Yeah.
She came all humble and then knocked. She was like a celebrity when she left here. She came back and she has a question for all of us.
Yes.
Tell me your name and what you got for us. What's going on today?
Okay, my name is Tati, and today the question is pretty much how you define a Black person based on their skin, experience. What I mean by experience is like there's just the struggle of being Black or both. So let me say the question again. How do you define a Black person based on their skin, experience, or both?
Oh, this is good.
Let's get into it.
Okay, wait, all right. Is there a difference between African American and Black to you?
Yes and no. Like, I want to see us as one, but then there is a difference because we do have a cultural difference. Like, they have certain food that they be making where Black people, Black Americans in the U.S. is different from in Africa. Like, for example, roommate.
How about African American, though?
Oh, African American. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know. I used to think that we was different, but as I'm getting older, it's like we're pretty much going through the same thing.
Okay. I just want to, because I want to answer your original question, because I find that people like, don't call me Black, call me African. You ever got that? I'm like, that's kind of, for me, it was always a weird thing, but I get it. Now it's political. Okay. Who you want to go first? You don't want to answer this question first?
No. I always go first. Okay. I think we should let Tati go first.
You know what? The floor is yours.
Oh, okay. I feel the pressure. Okay. It's both for me. Like, even though you might have the skin color, if you don't understand certain stuff of what I say about, like, this type of struggle, like, especially, like, the different classes, the financial class, you, like, even though you are Black and you, like, kind of like a middle class, you still have differences. You still go through life differently when you're, like, in a poor class. So I think it's both for me.
Oh, I want to hear what you got to say, because me? You hold a dual identity.
I'm Black and Latino.
Yes.
What?
And I don't think by looking at you, people would know that you're Latino.
I didn't know either.
See?
I just like, okay.
Yeah. So what, I'm undercover Black?
you're undercover Latino. Like that.
Well, that's a great point. I am Black. There's no culturally, biologically, physically, historically, politically, spiritually, I am Black. I used to deny being Black. I did not want to be Black. But when you grow up in this kind of, you know, in the United States, in this kind of context, you get the abuse and brutal context of what it feels like to be Black in America. And that's a real thing. Like, people may not understand that, but you know, you get told a lot of things like, you know, Black is ugly. You know, why you look like that. And you get people saying that, you, I remember, when I really knew I was Black, I was in the second grade trying to ask out a Puerto Rican in New York City in the Bronx. And you know how maybe, I don't know how to do it now because of DMs and all that. I hope that the kids got cell phones, Jesus Christ. I did the whole paper. If you like me,
Check here.
If you don't like me, check here. And if it's a maybe, check mm-hmm. here. And I did that in second grade. She's Puerto Rican. She had like this brownish blonde hair, natural. Like it was a natural blonde, brown hair mixed. No dye. I remember I was like, oh, she was like the most amazing sweetheart. At least I thought at the time. And I was like, I'm going to go ask her. So I wrote this piece of paper with, you know, if you like me, you know, and so I folded like neatly. It's a neatly fold. This is during class. This is, I think we're doing math class right now. And I passed the paper on to her, you know, through another student. Well, second grade. So, you know what students do. They're going to open. They're going to be nosy. So they open up this piece of paper. They're like, oh, you know, oh my God, look. So it becomes a thing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. I was already nervous. But anyway, she gets the paper and now the whole class is just buzzing. Cause now everybody knows that I'm asking her.
Yeah.
So she takes, like, she looks at the paper and I remember her just writing on this paper. I'm like, she's writing? I'm thinking it's supposed to circle, right? Like check the box.
Yeah.
All right, I guess she's going to write me a note. So I'm excited and I'm nervous. So now this paper is coming back. And now the other students are, and she crumbles it. So I mean, maybe she's rushing.
Mm-hmm.
So the paper comes back. But when it comes back recklessly because the students open it, read it, and start laughing and giggling. I'm like, okay, it might be real. This is going to go down. I'm about to have me a Boricua Puerto Rican. Yeah. You know, thinking I'm Latino too, right? I grew up in a Latino community. And when it comes back, I open it. It's all like crumpled up in all these greasy hands because everybody done touched it 1,000 times. And when I opened it, it was what was like, I guess they call it woke era, you know, but it was like a slap. I was woken up to this idea. Like, you're not one of us, right? Mm-hmm. And I read the note and it says, hell nah. I was like, oh.
No, she didn't say that.
She did.
Second grade.
This is New York City.
No. The Bronx.
Okay. I mean, come on now. Hell, not nah, but no with a lot of O's. Hell no. And under the hell no was too black. And I was like, too black? And it was the first kind of like realization. Like I literally looked at my skin like, but I'm brown. You start doing that I'm brown thing conversation. And it was like, no, you're black. And then the other kids, because it was like three black kids in the whole school. It was a bilingual school. Mm-hmm. It was all Latinos. And they were from Colombia, Puerto Rico, Brazil. They were from all over the diaspora. There was only three kids that were my skin tone. One was Puerto Rican and the other one was Dominican. And I was like, I'm too black. What does that mean? So I asked my mom, I was like, am I black? My mom was like, leave me alone. You know, she's talking to me in Spanish. Like, yeah, you know, don't even worry. I was like, but I can't. This girl said I was black. Like, I remember. And then my dad was like, am I black? And my dad's like, yo, come on, go somewhere, go play somewhere. And everybody just kind of dismissed it. But I started looking around like, what is black? So I went to go talk to some black kids, American kids, I'm born in the United States. I'm born in New York City. But what happens when you're raised in New York City, that culture you're with keeps its language.
Mm.
So it's not like here, you know. But they're like the communities are intact, mm-hmm. per se, in certain boroughs. And so I went to go talk to a kid that was born and raised in the city, but whose parents are African-American. I guess, I don't know if that's the terminology, but it was like, I was like, I went, I said, you black? He's like, hell yeah, I'm black. And he said it with such pride.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but why are you black? Because black is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Black is beautiful? He said, yeah, man. You don't just know James Brown's? Like, you know, black and pride. What is this? You need to get, and this is exactly what he said. You need to stop listening to that Mira stuff, man. You need to listen to hip hop. Where's your hip hop? Where's your media? You know, and then that's when I got my first Run DMC cassette tape. And I listened to Run DMC and I was like, oh, I'm black. I'm really black, like black, because it was like I was an outcast, and black people have been outcasted for centuries. And so, you know what it feels like to be excluded, alienated, right? Abused, suppressed, oppressed. You know what it feels like when you're not part of the in crowd and anybody makes you feel ugly, unwanted, and dirty. And I was like, oh yeah, I am all this. And I love it because in New York, I learned to embrace blackness. Yeah, I'm black. And what? Mm-hmm. That became the N-word part. Mm-hmm. But that happens in third grade. Second grade, I just had to eat it. Pause. But in third grade, it was like, oh, I'm black, like 1,000. Yeah, I speak Spanish. Yeah, I'm Latino. Black first. And what? Like, that was the other part. And what? And what is the problem? So it became a confrontational thing because it was too much of ill, dirty. And, you know, if you read the dictionary, well, we're going to do that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's my spew. That's when I first learned that I was black. I didn't like the feeling. But then afterwards, I was introduced to other cultural norms around black pride through music. Mm-hmm. James Brown was one of those. Hip hop was another element. Jazz was another element, and music was another way to embrace your blackness for me, because it wasn't happening in my house. And then if you listen to certain Spanish music, they embrace black African culture. Mm-hmm. In fact, they uplift Africa. That's gone now. If you listen to like Latino music, but they'll say like, you know, like Celia Cruz, she would tell you black is beautiful mm-hmm. in Spanish mm-hmm. and respect the black woman. Right. You'll hear Tito Puente, you'll hear Hector Lavoe, you know, anybody who knows these artists, they'll tell you like black is the mecca of the drum, it's the mecca of music, it's the center of all. Mm-hmm. They say it like we can't do this without black people. Mm-hmm. You gotta be out your mind. You don't hear that now because people pretend like we don't really exist now. But back then the music, you start to connect, like, oh, this thing is important. So, and at least in the East Coast, that's how it went for me. So anyway, that's how I discovered I was black. That's how I started transitioning and accepting it and embracing it. And yeah, that's where I'm at now. All right, go ahead.
Okay, let's see. What do I think makes people... I love this question, and I think that it's an interesting dynamic because for me, I think there's one aspect that is, you are black because that's your phenotype, right? When I walk into the world, people see me as black and they treat me as black, right? So then I have to, I have to be mindful of that, right? Not necessarily behave in a certain way, but be mindful that, you know, I walk into a store, I can be followed, and all these other tropes of, you know, things that happen to black people, right? That being said, a while ago, I was watching something that, you know, I'm like daytime talk shows, like Maury, Dr. Phil, and all that stuff. I don't know how true that stuff is, but I be thinking like 90% of it's just like trash. I'm sorry. I just don't think that I think it's literally for entertainment. I don't think that there's like actually any good or positive things like coming from, like, yeah, you go on Dr. Phil, he's supposed to help you, but I don't really think, anyways, I digress. But one of these shows was this person who was saying, like, because they were adopted by a black family as a non-black person, because they grew up in an area of town that was saturated with black people, right? And that's all they knew, kind of to Alex's point, growing up, they're like, I'm black, right? And then they have this sudden realization that they're not, right? And the privileges that they hold as being white, right? So it's like, are you culturally black? Because this is all, like, this is the culture that you know, and this is the culture that you grew up in, right? I don't think that's a true statement. Like, I don't think that there's... Yeah, you have heavy exposure to this culture, but I don't think that makes you culturally black, right? And I also think that it's a really, really slippery slope that we go down when we start trying to determine who is and who is not Black, right? Especially when you really like start getting into like the anthropology of it all. It's like, we all came from Africa and this, that, and the third, right? So technically we're all Black, you know what I mean? So it's a really complex topic, right? I definitely think that even if you do hold dual identities, right? So like Alex, who's Afro-Latina, I think there's a reason why they're, the term that they call themselves is Afro-Latina and not Latino Afro or whatever, right? Because a lot of times when people see them, the first thing that they present is their Blackness, right? And the world sees and judges them on that, right? So yeah, I think that's my answer to that. Like, I think that it's great, but, and also, right, this is the conundrum that I find myself in a lot of times. There are people, Rachel Dolezal, who don't present as Black or are not highly melanated, right? And because we have those type of people in our culture, those people who are not Black get to, but, oh, well, my daddy's Black, my mom's white, my dad's Black, so I'm Black. And now you gotta, okay, like, you can't be like, well, you're not Black, because what if that was you, right? And how would you feel if somebody's like, oh, you're not Black enough, right? And what does that actually mean? So,
I love Rachel Dolezal. I apologize if I'm botching your name. Rachel was important mm-hmm. for me and for the rest of America. I think what she was doing was highly important. Mm. And I think we made a big mistake with Rachel Dolezal. And let me tell you why I think we made a big mistake. When that whole thing was happening, I thought, so let's keep it one. Let me just keep it 100% real with you. Black is an idea. Mm. It's an idea with historical context, right? And it's an idea that goes back to this notion that African Americans or Africans are lesser than, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the Negro and Negro, right? So whether you Latin, doesn't matter what country you are, you get that label Black is another thing that comes with it. Mm-hmm. But Rachel did something that was profound. And she taught me something that was profound. We made a mistake with Rachel. We should have adopted Rachel in the Black community.
Not the Chappelle show.
No. Let me explain why.
We the Black delegation take Rachel Dolezal.
Let me explain why.
Here's a message from one of our sponsors, Wiley, Young Leaders, CES.
All right, so I just wanted to talk about just some crazy, you know, not a crazy, but did you know about some things about some health related? Did you guys know that 80% of illnesses cause germs and are spread by your hands?
Wait a minute. Hands?
Yes.
I talk with my hands.
Exactly.
80%.
Yes.
What type of illness?
Type of illness. So germs can actually survive for up to 3 hours on your hands. So your hands spread 1,000 times more germs when they are damp than when they are dry. And if you guys know, 1 in 5 people don't actually wash their hands.
You know what? Now I'm looking at my friends differently. You know, when they shake your hands, they do like the sweaty palm. Oh no.
Yes, and the crazy fact that I found out is only 30% people that wash their hands use soap.
Ew, so you mean you're telling people they're using soap?
No, so people actually just basically, like they say, I don't know if you ever heard of a bird bath. You know how they say they just take it, it's the same thing when people wash their hands.
No, explain the bird bath.
A birth bath is, you know, somebody that just literally just takes a rinse, like, just probably goes in the shower, you know, lets the water, and then they're done. And then they just, like, you know, dry up, and that's it.
I gotta ask, have you ever taken a birth bath?
Stay tuned for How Do You Define a Black Person, Part 2, on Black Talk Series.